2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning. I trust you had a good week. This week I was blessed and reminded of just how important it is to be together. You know, these COVID days, it's a challenge sometimes to just to see people or be with people, isn't it? Monday and Tuesday, I was at Camp Chaminade for our pastor's teaching conference, and it was great. Some great preaching and fellowship, and I was just again glad to be part of the Evangelical Free Church. Our district, which is the state of Minnesota, Minnesota, how many free churches do you think Minnesota has? 167 free churches in Minnesota. And for the most part, our churches are doing pretty well during these days. It's like everywhere and everybody, it challenges us to do things in a different way or a new way or an adjusted way at least. And most of them are doing pretty well. It was also great to be at camp. A lot of camps were closed this summer. They just couldn't do it. But Chaminade had a little late start and had some restrictions. But I asked the executive director, Herb, and he had shared these in our board meeting too. Well, let me just get it right. 238 first-time decisions for Jesus this summer. About 2,000 kids were at camp this summer. 1,000 family campers. There were 10 Loomises there in June. We had a great weekend. And 200 day camp kids. They'd never done day camp. Just for local kids, you know, to come and do something. I said, well, yeah, we got 800 acres. We could open that up. And so 200 kids from the community came. And even our camp in the Boundary Waters in Ely, Rock Ridge, they were busy every single week. Because a lot of those camps like that were closed too. And so Rock Ridge got a bunch of folks. Anyway, I was just praising God for how He's working through the Free Church and how He's working here at our church, right? You already heard that we have called Andy and Caroline, Andy Claire, to be the new pastor. And so that's exciting. And we continue to kind of make small steps to open things up, right? Our chairs are back in the rows. If you weren't here before, we kind of had them scattered all around. But so thank you for probably when you walked in. Oh, now where do I sit? Maybe I could sit in my normal spot. Where was that again? You know, and anyway, you've distanced yourself fine, so thank you for doing all that. Well, we've already prayed, but let me just pray one more time and ask God to bless our time. Lord, thank you for your word. We're here, and you are here, and we are sitting at your feet wanting to hear from you. And so help us put aside any distractions or fuzziness in our thinking or in our hearts. Help us to hear from you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you saved That used to be kind of a sort of an introduction to evangelism, to talk about the gospel. But it also helps clarify Christians and kind of where they're at. And that's a Bible term, the Bible, and we use different terms about what we're talking about, knowing God. Yes, saved, born again, redeemed. Sometimes with kids, we talk about asking Jesus in your heart. The older generation would, their phrase sometimes would be peace with God. Have you made your peace with God? Well, all of that, just different ways of talking about, do you know God? Right from the very beginning, Peter is going to say, in the first verse of his second letter, who he's writing to us, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. He says, not your own righteousness. This is not you working your way to heaven, right? This is the righteousness that God gives. Now, how do we know if we have that? How do we know if we are saved? How can we be assured of our salvation? We're going to talk about knowing your salvation today. Now, some folks wrestle with doubting their salvation. It's somewhat of a common thing. Satan, of course, would love to have you doubt. But God wants you to know that you know. Now, some people, for sure, have sort of a false assurance because they believe in a false gospel. They think they're believers. Their favorite movie? All Dogs Go to Heaven. That's sort of, I don't know if that is, but that's what they think. And there's a false assurance there. Other people, true believers, think having assurance and kind of a confidence is sort of presumptive and even arrogant. Well, how can you be sure? And they may wrongly conclude that having that kind of assurance, well, is problematic. Because if you really know you're a believer, then that's going to lead to problems, perhaps, to compromise, to carelessness, maybe to even sin. Well, I'm saved, and now I just live like I want. Well, that's a wrong understanding of the gospel. But sometimes when we talk about all this, there's differences of opinion. Well, today I just want to give you, from our verses, two facts, truths about knowing your salvation. Here's the first one. Know your obligation. Now, measuring things is important, right? We weigh ourselves. We see how tall our kids are. Growing up, in my parents' closet door, you opened it up. There were six of us Loomis kids. And you can see they measured. I don't know if you still do this. We did this with our kids too. You measure and you write the name and the date and you see, oh, look at this, over time. They're growing. We do that. And we even have goals. Sometimes it's, well, I want to check how things are going. And so we look at report cards and bank statements. And maybe the goal is to balance our checkbook or to lose weight or to whatever. And so we say, well, we want to grow in this area. Spiritual growth is like that too. So Peter's going to give us some things that, what is it as believers we should be concerned about? And he has quite a list, actually. He's going to say, in all of this, you need to be progressing. You need to be growing and developing, letting God work in your life. Like what? What things would we focus on? Yeah, he gives them. He starts out, make every effort to supplement your faith. Faith, that's where it starts, right? Trust in Christ as our Savior, as he already said. That's our salvation. It heads the list. But now he's going to say, to faith, I want you to add some things, to mix in some things. Goodness or virtue, right? Your faith is going to be demonstrated by some good works. Knowledge, verse 5, and then again it's mentioned in verse 6. This is the third and fourth time in just these opening verses that knowledge, knowing God, is mentioned. And not just facts about God, but personal knowledge and applied knowledge. Sometimes we call that discernment, right? If we're going to live our Christian life, we need to know what to do with it. How does, when I go to work, how does that affect me? How is it that I raise my family? How do I manage my money? What kind of neighbor am I? What kind of citizen am I in these trying days? All of that. That's kind of knowledge. Also mix in self-control. Now, self-control these days is kind of countercultural. Our culture just says, if it feels good, just do it. You don't need to have any real control. But God says, no, wait a minute. Your passions and desires, they can't control you. You need to control them. And then steadfastness or perseverance. That is, you keep going. Satan would love to just have you give up. Oh, this Christian life, too hard, forget it. And just give in or give up. But no, we keep going. Steadfastness. Godliness. That is, God's at the center of all we do, right? Our attitudes, our actions. We're yielding all of that to God. What's next? Godliness with brotherly affection. You probably know the Greek word for this. Philadelphia. I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And Philadelphia means brotherly love. But sometimes we teased that it really stood for the city of brotherly shove. But no, it's not. It's brotherly love. And then he ends with not just brotherly love, but love for everybody, right? Everywhere. And what kind of love? A godly love, a sacrificial love, an unconditional love. Well, it's quite a list, isn't it? And you may feel like I do, like, wow, I'm far from godly. Look at this. But the point is not so much where are you now, but what direction are you going? Are you progressing in these? Are you, like the verse says, making every effort in these? So you can look at your life and say, well, I'm not going to compare myself to other people. That's not the standard. No, the godly Christian life, God help me out here. So am I more loving than I was last year? I don't know how you measure that. But, you know, do I have more self-control? Our friend said that COVID-19 these days is challenging, and the 19 stands for the 19 pounds you gained since you can't come out of your house. I'm like, well, yeah, that's pretty close. Are these characteristics, you know, growing, abounding, increasing? Am I progressing? Am I growing in these things? So that's one obligation. Here's another one. He says you need to be productive. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, and he kind of puts it in the negative, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful, again, in the knowledge of knowing Jesus. We don't want to be ineffective or unfruitful. We want to be effective and fruitful, right? We want to have God's life flow through us and in us. Now, all those qualities of the earlier verses, it's not like it's a progression. Like you start with faith, well, yes, and then it's a sort of a ladder. You do this, you add this and that. Well, no, I don't think that's as accurate as that. You kind of, all of those qualities need to be developing in our life and letting God work. We're talking about knowing our salvation. God's not asking us to earn our salvation. I'm going to try and make that clear. But he wants us to show some evidence of it, some fruit, a demonstration of that. And so he says, be productive. Let these things, let God work in your life. And if you're not, verse 9, he says you're nearsighted or blind. If you're not showing these characteristics, you probably are going to doubt your salvation. Even other people might. Like, well, you say you know and love Jesus, but it doesn't really show up in your life. Or he says, you may have forgotten that you've been cleansed. You've forgotten. You wouldn't think Christians would forget. But we can sometimes. Oh, yeah. This is something that Jesus has done for us. He's cleansed us. He's forgiven us. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He's reconciled us. Right? All those good Bible words. It's what God has done. So don't forget. Remembering our salvation, I don't think necessarily is I remember an exact place or time. Some of us can do that. But it's bringing to our mind, oh yeah, this is God working in my life, and I want to show that. And so I'm never going to forget that. And so like for next Sunday, we will celebrate communion. And Jesus says, you're doing this to remember me. Remember what Jesus has done. So that's a good thing. So that's our obligation, to be progressing, to be productive, God's salvation growing in us and flowing through our life. He's going to tell us another thing we need to know. Know your validation. That's my word. It's kind of like this, when you have validating parking at the restaurant, right? The valet doesn't park my car, but I do. I park my car and get my parking ticket validated in the restaurant. And when I exit after eating dinner, I don't have to pay for parking because the restaurant has validated that I was there. Now, validation isn't necessary for me to get food. It just shows that, yeah, I actually was there and I ate food. Well, how do you validate your salvation? How do you sort of prove it or show it? Well, he's going to tell us. He wants us to be sure. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. And notice those two words. This isn't a hobby horse of mine, but one of the great benefits of expository preaching, that is going verse by verse or book by book, when you come to things that are hard or uncomfortable or difficult or challenging, you talk about it. Because they're right there in the verses. So I could probably say a lot, but let me just say a couple of things. Let me just make a couple observations about calling an election. Notice the direction that this is from God, right? We don't call ourselves or we don't elect ourselves, right? We called a new pastor. Next month, we are voting to elect a president and other government officials. So you don't do that for yourself. And notice the certainty that when God chooses somebody, he elects them, he calls them, it's absolutely certain. God doesn't sort of choose you and then wait for you to sort of decide. God just sort of stands by as a bystander, and it's sort of up to you. Well, no. But notice, finally, the perspective that Peter's talking about. This is our part. Confirm your calling and election. What is our part in doing that? He says, confirm it. Or other translations like New International says, make it sure. My word was validate. How do we do that? Well, who do we do that to? Who are we confirming our, and I'll just put it together in the bigger word, salvation. Who are we confirming that to? God? Well, no. God knows who are his, right? He knows who his children are. He can tell the difference between, we'll use the words Jesus used, sheep and goats. Out on the farmland, they mingle throughout the day, right? And sometimes from a distance it's hard to tell or whatever, but sheep and goats, you can tell the difference. Well, so can God. He knows. He knows who are his. So who are we confirming or validating this to? Us? Well, I think in part, yes. We're making sure for our own benefit, in a sense. It validates that, yes, we really are saved. It gives us assurance and confidence. Wow, this salvation that the Bible talks about, I've got it. It's showing up in my life. I mean, you're not bragging. You're just affirming that, you know, God is at work. And you've responded. And you are responding. Confirm it to other people. I think that's also part of it, too. When we live our Christian life, you know, as best as we can, the world's going to see it. They're like, oh, something's different about that person. I think maybe they wouldn't use the word saved. That's kind of a Bible word, right? But something is different and supernatural even, unnatural, beyond natural. I know how I live, the natural person. This person has something different. And it confirms that, it validates that to the watching world. We have been in three permanent churches. We've done a couple, like here, interims. So that means we've lived three different places, all in the metro area, South Minneapolis, Mound, and Watertown. Maybe I've mentioned this before, but it was interesting. The day we were unloading our moving truck, every single place, a neighbor would come over and say, oh, you must be the new pastor moving in. We haven't even moved in yet, and they know who we are. Well, at first that used to bother me, like, man, they're watching us. So kids behave, you know, be the perfect kids, you know. Well, that's unrealistic, you know. But then I saw it more as an opportunity. They are watching. They're watching you too. And they're trying to figure things out. How does this Christian thing work? This Jesus thing? What does that look like? And I have questions. Now, maybe they will directly ask you. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll sit back a little and just kind of observe and check you out. And maybe they won't even say anything. Maybe you don't even know that they're watching. But they are. And so We're going to make sure of our salvation as we just live it every day. So he says, be sure, and then one more point here. Be steadfast. At the end, it says this. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Now that doesn't mean as Christians, we never sin, we never blow it. We do. We're not going to be perfect, but we've been progressing, we've been persevering, we're going to keep going. And when we do sin, the fact that we're convicted about that sin, and then have a desire for godliness, we want to do better, that shows our salvation too, right? Non-Christians don't worry about that kind of stuff. Sometimes it bothers them about the consequences of their sin and some of the decisions they've made or whatever. But, you know, that list earlier about all that love and knowledge, and they're not trying to do that. But we as believers, we are. And we feel convicted because God convicts us. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to, when we're going in the wrong direction, he redirects us back on the right path. He says, wait a minute, here's where you need to go. And so we cooperate with that. We say, okay, I'm going to keep going. And not, it says, richly, a rich inheritance or welcome into the eternal kingdom. Not that, well, you need to doubt, oh boy, am I really going to make it? No, not, you're already in the kingdom. That's not the question. It's kind of what welcome, what riches, what rewards will you have in the kingdom? Well, this morning my goal was not to cast doubt on your salvation. I wanted you to know about your salvation. I wanted you to be encouraged and assured and confident. I wanted you to rejoice in God's salvation and thank God for His salvation. Again, it's not works salvation, right? You could see how that could be a problem, right? Because you would never know for sure, am I doing enough? If God has a giant list, do I have a passing grade? Oh yeah, His standard is perfection. Oh man, I don't think I meet that. If that's the salvation that you think the Bible is talking about, of course you're not going to be assured of that. Because you have those lingering doubts in your mind. I don't think I'm good enough. And the Bible says, well, you're right. You're not good enough. Nobody's good enough. That's why we need the righteousness that comes from God, not our own. So never say, I'm working for my salvation. I think of a verse in Philippians that we need to be careful about too. It's not, I'm going to work out my salvation so God can work in me. No, the verse actually says, I'm going to work out my salvation, for God is already at work in me to will and to work for His good pleasure. God is at work, and we're cooperating with that. We're responding to that. Let me close with this final illustration. In the airport, you can observe the differences between passengers who hold a confirmed ticket and those who are on standby. Ones with confirmed tickets, they just sit down, they read their newspaper, they chat with their friends, maybe they even sleep. But the ones on standby, they hang around the ticket counter. They're constantly fidgeting and pacing. And they can't relax, can they? They just can't get comfortable. Why not? The difference is in assurance. Assurance. Those who doubt their salvation lack that comfort and assurance and security. But those who know their salvation, confident, not cocky or arrogant, but confident in God's promises, God's process, God working through them. Well, I trust that you know this salvation. That is, you know God, not just facts about Him, but a personal, growing, intimate knowledge of God. And not just, yeah, I did that 20 years ago, but I'm continuing, that's a current, ongoing, developing relationship with Jesus. And I not only know my salvation, but I'm growing in my salvation. Let's pray to that end. Lord, we do thank you for our salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Thank you for our blessed assurance. Help us go forward today with confidence and with the conviction to live out our salvation with growth and godliness. And Lord, we know our salvation comes from you, and our sanctification, our ongoing growth, comes from you too. So we need your help. So we ask for that. We trust you. We commit our lives, every area of our lives, to you. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God, the goodness that leads us to repentance. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close by singing our final song, The Goodness of God. Let's stand and sing together.